Yeah. I'm over there spiritually with you. Why don't you just open right up to James chapter 5. And the Lord willing, we should finish up this chapter and the epistle today. I got to thinking, the most powerful thing that Christians have is prayer. And so today, God's word is titled Prayer Power. And James goes along with that, you'll see. It's strange, though, because we become a Christian in an instant, in a moment. We accept the Lord as our Savior. We pledge to follow Him and worship Him and allow Him to send His Spirit into us to guide and direct us. But we don't fully understand at that instant every single do's and don'ts about the Christian walk. And in the closing verses of James chapter 5, he goes over at least five more aspects of Christianity. He begins in verse 9 here. He says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." James is not talking to heathen people. Twice in those three verses, he calls them brethren. They're believers. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. He had just finished talking to the under-treated people to be patient. And now he tells us to be patient with our fellow believers. Now, grumble, I take it as kind of mumbling under your breath. You're not really talking to your brother or sister out there, but you're mumbling and grumbling against them. And obviously, the way he worded it, he says, don't do that. They must have been doing that. You know, sometimes it takes a whole lot more patience to bear with these little frictions than from open, outright wrongs that are created against us. And the warnings come in the family circle. What a happy family unit we would have, where love reigns between the husband and the wife, and where the parents enjoy the obedience and the confidence of their wisely trained children. But this can only happen where there is constant mutual forbearance. How prone is that even within the husband and wife, they misunderstand each other. And it causes these frictions. Households are made unhappy by envying and quarreling children. What's the antidote? The grace of God within our soul to enable us, as it says in Psalm 101, to walk within our house with a perfect heart. But we have the business circle too. Offenses arise among Christians now. This is what James is saying. When engaged in business and the strain of working and competition, one brother or sister grudges the success of another and claims they're dealing dishonestly to get where they got. But as Abraham, long ago, Abraham was content that Lot took for himself the best of the land just so that their herdsmen wouldn't argue and quarrel among another. He didn't say, let's cast lots. He says, no pun intended there. He said, Lot, you pick where you want to go, and I'll go the other way. It still is a good policy today. It would do the Christian soul less harm to sometimes make what could be a financially bad bargain than to soil his soul by cherishing in there evil thoughts against any fellow believer. The Christian is to take the high road, and sometime it's not the most profitable as far as the world goes. Lot, you choose. He took the best, and Abraham went the other way. And James goes on saying, what right do we have to judge one another? We lack full knowledge of it. Our own hearts are impure, so how can they judge? And he says, be careful, because the judge is right outside the door, ready to proclaim righteous judgment. And if we remember the Gospels that we read quite regularly, in Matthew, Jesus says, judge not, that you not be judged. Because with what judgment you judge, he says, you're going to be judged by that. And the measure that you use, that measure will be used back at you. So James says, don't grumble. And he gives us encouragement from the prophets of old. What about these prophets of old? Well, they were in the will of God. And yet they suffered. Wait a minute. They're in the will of God, they're doing God's will, and they suffered. And I know we're all thinking, sign me up, Lord, I want some of that. They were preaching in the name of the Lord. And they were persecuted. Scripture tells us, all that live godly in Christ shall, not maybe, shall suffer persecution. If we try to live, and we live in Jesus Christ, we will be persecuted, just like the prophets of old. So don't think obedience automatically produces a nice, easy, and pleasurable life. It doesn't. Jesus was obedient, right? Led him to the cross. So if that's the case, how do we get encouragements from these prophets of old? Well, prophets of old encourage us by reminding us who takes care of us. It's God. God takes care of his own. He cares for us when we go through suffering for his sake. And many, many of the prophets had to endure great trials and suffering. First one to mind, Elijah. He walks up to this wicked King Ahab and says, Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. It's going to be a drought. And was Elijah immune from the drought? No. He suffered in the drought. But God took care of him. And how about Jeremiah? He was arrested as a traitor. He was thrown into this dry well hole and just left there to die. God fed him. God protected him. And Ezekiel, Daniel, they all had their share of hardships. But the Lord delivered them. Now, we think that these prophets of old were mighty men, a whole lot spiritual than we are, and God loved them more than he loves us. Not true. He doesn't love them more than he loves you. He loves you exactly the same amount as he loves them. The will of God is never going to lead you to where the grace of God can't keep you. Never. And this example that he uses of these old prophets should encourage us to get into God's word a little bit more so we can get to know these heroes of faith. And the better we know God's word, the more God encourages us. James was talking about farmers last week. And the important thing, like a farmer, is we keep working while we're waiting. And like the prophets, we keep witnessing no matter how trying the circumstances may be. Was it Jeremiah that said, I'm not going to preach no more? And yet he says, this fire in my bones, I cannot not preach the word of God. James shifts gears here a little bit in verse 13. And he asks a question. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer power. Prayer is a high, holy privilege. Think about this in your quiet time. God is king of the universe because he created it all. We can come right to him freely. We don't have to knock on the door. Boldly, we can just walk in to his throne and share all our needs with him. Seven times in these verses, James mentioned prayer. In some of the situations, were prayer for the suffering. In the King James, I think it says afflicted in your version. What does it say in your? It doesn't? Oh, you didn't bring that one. Okay. The phrase afflicted translated is suffering. But a good translation for that phrase is in trouble. Pray for the brothers and sisters that are in trouble. What should we do when we find ourselves in these trying circumstances? Well, the very first verse I read is we don't grumble. Do not grumble. Do not criticize other believers who may be having an easier time or even a time of blessing in their life. It's just not one for you at that moment. Nor should we blame the Lord. James says we should pray. Ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to understand the situation and to use it to his glory. Prayer can remove suffering, if that's God's will. Prayer can give us the grace we need to endure the troubles. Verse 13 shows us that not everybody goes through trouble all at the same time. He says, is any merry? So there's some people having a good time there. He says, you people sing. See, God balances our lives. He gives us hours of suffering over here, but then he gives us days of singing over here. And it's the mature Christian who knows how to sing when he's suffering over here. Anybody can sing after the storm's gone by. Maybe not on key, but can sing. That brings to memory Paul and Silas in my mind. They had been beaten and thrown in jail and put in the stocks, very uncomfortable position, the stocks. And they sang at midnight and they prayed. So praying and singing, very important elements of worship. The singing should be an expression of the inner life. And praises, they don't come from the mouth or the head. They come from the heart. And they're motivated by the Holy Spirit that's within you. He says, pray for the sick. This may sound strange. I do not believe that verses 14 through 16 is a formula for healing the sick. Somebody's sick, this is the formula that they will be healed. I have been involved with the elders in praying for sick people. Sometimes God has given a healing. Saw it. Other times he is not healed. It's always up to God, not us. Is it the anointing that leads to healing, or is it the praying? Scripture, verse 15 says, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. doesn't say the prayer of the faithful. It says the prayer of faith. What is the prayer of faith? James didn't quote it. But if you go to 1 John chapter 5, John says this about that. This is the confidence that we have in Him, God, Jesus, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we asked of Him. This prayer of faith, it's a prayer that is offered when you know the will of God. So in this case, in James, the elders would seek the mind of God in the matter that is set before them, and then they would pray according to His will. Now, another fault of mine, I have to admit, is I do not always know how to pray for the sick. Paul had the same problem. He said the same thing. Is it God's will to heal? Or is God planning to take that child home? I don't know. Doesn't mean I don't pray. I still pray. I pray, if it is your will, Lord, then please heal my friend. Heal my brother. Heal my sister. But when we have the inner conviction from the Word and from the Holy Spirit that it is in God's will to heal, then pray the prayer of faith and expect God to do wondrous things. That's what James is saying. And keep in mind also what James isn't saying. He's not saying one individual come and pray. It's not the prayer of one individual. It's the body of the elders of the church, spiritual men of God who seek God's will in the matter, and they pray. James didn't instruct the believer to go send for a faith healer. Somebody that has a website that says, I'm a faith healer. The whole situation is put into the hands of the elders of the local church. And with all that, he mentions Elijah. He gives us an example of a righteous man whose prayers released power. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, don't take Elijah and then put him in this special light of purity over here, and that's why God answered his prayers. We're all, in the eyes of God, the same. Everybody. And it says Elijah was a man just like us. Just like us? Yes. Faults. He wasn't perfect. You remember his great victory on Mount Carmel. After that, he was afraid. And he ran away and hid. And he was discouraged. But he was a righteous man. That means he was obedient to the Lord. He was trusting the Lord. God's promises of answering prayers are for all His children, not for just the ones that we pick as being a special elite group. There was a verse I didn't read that says, don't swear. Verse 12. And he words it, above all, brethren. Don't swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. He says, let your yes be yes, You know, no. Lest you fall into judgment. I read that a couple of times. And is he talking about profanity here? I don't think so. He's saying, be a righteous man and woman so that you don't have to swear by heaven or earth that you're going to do something when someone asks you to do it. Your character and your life shows you're a man, woman of your word. He says, if you're going to go there and be at a place to help them move that rock, and you say, I'll be there at dawn, he says, be there at dawn. Your yes be yes. If you can't do it, and you say no, that's okay. But he says, don't try to build up your credibility by swearing on heaven, earth, God, or whatever. That's a good way to live. Your yes is a yes. Prayer power. The greatest power in the world. I think it's more powerful than dynamite. Elijah prayed for his nation. They were in a drought. He prayed how many times? Seven. He kept telling the servant, you see anything? No, nothing. Go look again. Come back. No, nothing, Elijah. He'd be praying, go again. We need to pray for this nation we live in. We need to pray that God's going to bring conviction along this nation and the leaders and revival. And that showers of blessings will come to this land. The last verse, the last two verses, he says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. If by chance you speak to a fellow believer, you know, you kind of drifted away. You used to see you at church. You used to follow God, but your lifestyle doesn't look like it's doing that anymore. You want to come over? We're having prayer night. And if he turns back to the Lord, he says, that's great. You just saved him. Just like God never gave up on us, we should never give up on anybody. We just keep gently, you'll know when to push hard and when to just shove a little bit. And God will bring showers of blessings, not only to this nation, but to that person too. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us to be strong in your word, and that our lives would be a reflection of truth and righteous love, compassion. That no matter who comes and knocks on our door, that we speak your word to them. That you strengthen us, and you, where we lack wisdom, you give us wisdom. And it doesn't matter who it is, Lord. You love us all. Jesus died for everybody, even those that are not following you right now. Help us to bring those unbelievers into your kingdom, Lord, by reading your word, by understanding, by compassion and wisdom that you give us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we come to you today. Amen. The gala starts at 6:30. I just checked. It's 6:30. The doors open earlier, but it starts at 6:30.